Beach, Rock, Rob Park, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
This is a Homemade Broadcast radio production.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Base vehicle free count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The Homemade Broadcast, episode 525. My name's Will Koontz. This is my friend, Anel Humel.
Gross.
It's French.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it's good to be here today. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Good to be here with everybody. Joe's back. Condolences on your mother, Joe. Joe did message me this week and let me know that his mother did pass away. Now I feel kind of bad for teasing him about the comment. I did get over it. I'm okay now. But I did feel bad for a few days.
Oh.
So, yeah. So condolences to Joe.
Over what you're like, I was sad for a minute that she died, but I'm over it now. No, I know what you're saying about the comment. You didn't know what was coming. It was a mistake. So,
you know, that's all we can do is live, learn. You know, I mean, the good thing about it is that all of our mothers will be dead someday, and we're all going to have to feel that pain.
That's the good thing. That's, you said, you prefaced it with
thing, but it is a thing.
It's one of those things
that everybody's going to have to experience and go through.
Unless we die first, in which case the pain will really be more on them. So,
what's better, you think?
Definitely grieving a parent, I think, than grieving a child. Yes.
You think grieving a parent is worse? What if they die?
Is better, is less worse.
Yeah.
Grieving a child is much worse, I think, because in their mind, they're like, you should be bearing me, not the other way around, where you have to bear your child. Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah. That's tough.
Yeah. Great start to the show. I like it.
I like to, you know, my girl was telling me how we got in a fight. So I didn't speak to her for a few days just because I can do that. Like, and it shocked her of how easily I could just like shut off and not speak.
Was she in the house?
In the house, yeah.
Are you still in a fight or?
No, I think we're good now. I just need to do a better job at everything. I do a bad job of. I guess that's not true. I don't know. I'm not feely enough. I don't feel enough.
I know you probably don't want to give too many details because it's a personal story, but all you said was, I need to do better at everything. Can you give us a bit more specifics?
Let me tell you what happened. So she's a good human being and she was volunteering this weekend and doing some bird stewarding, which was basically keeping people away from birds on a preserve or a
state park. Yeah,
state park. A habitat. What do you call that now?
Yeah, like an exhibit or
a protected land.
Protected class. A species? Yeah. Endangered? Whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
Birds.
Sanctuary. Maybe sanctuary.
Yeah, that'll work.
Okay. So I was by myself and left to my own devices for most of the weekend. I did take, I took Friday off and I had Monday off. So I had a 4-day weekend. I really didn't know what to do with myself, really. So I went hung out with my mom and took her to lunch because she was sick on Mother's Day. So I did that. And then on the way home, I did some bourbon hunting. I went into some liquor stores and was searching around for some goods. And she mentioned that she goes, "Hey, were you, what'd you do today?" And I told her I went and took Karen out to lunch. And then I went and, you know, did some booze hunting and. Because you weren't in a neighborhood? I was like, nope. I don't think so, unless I was passing through. She goes, oh, okay. Just kind of did one of those. Huh, that's weird. I was looking at your tracking, and she's got me tracked on the phone. I was looking at your tracking, and saw you're in a neighborhood, so I just didn't know if you were visiting somebody. So the presumption is there that maybe I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing.
In the neighborhood?
Like visiting somebody. She didn't make the direct implication that I was like cheating, but she definitely threw it out there. At least the presumption of maybe I was visiting.
In the neighborhood, meaning?
In a neighborhood visiting some floozy.
Oh, okay. Because you said in the neighborhood, meaning like in your own neighborhood, like hooking up with a neighbor or something.
No, just in a different neighborhood.
Gotcha.
So I was like, nope, just booze hunting. Maybe I was passing through. I did drive through a neighborhood to get to the store. So it kind of took the long way. So the next day she was gone too. And I went and had some beers with my buddy Steve, and it was in Clearwater. And the neighborhood that accusation was made was in Clearwater. I was telling Steve about it. I'm like, oh my God, I should probably like tell her I'm with you. I don't want her to think that I'm with some floozy at a bar. So I told her, you know, hey, check it out. Send a picture. I'm with my friend Steve. Gonna be back that way soon. Just letting you know. And I guess that kind of ticked her off.
Okay. What did she find on the tracking the day prior? Was it you at your mom's place? Did she not know where your mom lived, or you know what I mean?
I think I was just traveling through, and so, you know, sometimes those apps aren't super accurate anyways. Like sometimes they'll stick you somewhere and like,
okay,
you're actually moving, but it's not always super reliable.
Gotcha.
It's pretty reliable, but like my dad, when I see him on the map, he's always at home, and I'm like, I know he's at work, but it shows he's at home.
I see. Okay. And so that ticked her off, as if to say, like, you don't trust me, and here I am. And
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. She thought I was like mocking her, and I really wasn't. I thought I was doing the right thing by just like, hey, let's you know, this is what's happening. I'm being upfront.
Yeah.
Where I'm at.
Right.
I guess I kind of ticked her off. So, you know, words were exchanged, and, but we're cool now. Everything's good. Everything's good. You ever fight? You ever get in a fight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Usually. We don't fight very often, but when we do, it's usually pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's usually some issue that I'm having for sure. And I'm pretty sure he can hear me having this conversation right now. So he's probably just listening in like, yeah, it's usually I am learning more and more that I am like a hyper, it's like I make jokes about this. Do you ever make jokes about yourself like in an exaggerated form, and then you're like, you realize you actually are that? You like make jokes where you're like, yeah, I'm really anxious and I'm like neurotic and stuff like that. And then later on you're like, oh no, that wasn't hyperbole. I'm actually insane.
I'm actually like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm learning more and more about myself in that capacity, that I am a deeply flawed and wildly insecure person. And I hate, he's like nodding along. I hate using this word because I feel like it's so overused, but I really don't want to use this buzzword, Will, because I know you're gonna make fun of me, but like I do get like triggered by stuff that is I learned that I get really upset when I feel like I'm like living a past experience that I desperately try to get away from, right? So if I have certain paranoias about certain things, and then you start to believe a story about yourself, and then you start to look for evidence of those things. Of, for example, with me, like I have deep like inadequacy issues and stuff like that. So whenever I see evidence of someone thinking I'm inadequate, or they're not proud of me, or they don't want to show me off, I have a complete meltdown. So yes, I do fight with my boyfriend sometimes. And I think that if you hear from anybody that says they have this flawless relationship, I think that's a lie. So.
Oh, it's totally impossible. That's what I told her today too. I'm like, we're going to fight sometime. I mean, like that's not right. We don't really fight, which that's one of the things that I really like about her, is that we don't really fight, but I also don't want it to be one of those things where it's keeping emotions locked in and thoughts and feelings. And also, you know, I don't know. I guess I'd just more try to be rational about things, which is sometimes.
You're good.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're different. beings, and that is okay. And there's nothing wrong with you being more rational and her being more emotional. I think that it's just important for us ladies to realize that guys aren't oftentimes trying to hurt our feelings. They're just coming from a place of let's solve the problem or let's just be rational and logic about it. Where yeah. from women, it's like, but you hurt my feelings, or, you know, what was the intention behind your action? Were you trying to be mean to me? Were you trying to make me feel bad? So as long as we just kind of try to understand the other person, I think that, you know, you'll be all right.
I think that's a good effort. And, you know, I don't want to discount anybody's feelings either. However, I am aware that sometimes your feelings can lead you astray, and sometimes your feelings, you know, there's a push to validate feelings, but no, you shouldn't always validate your feelings. It could be wrong. And it's important to check that. But also at the same time,
just to clarify, you're saying you shouldn't have to validate your own, or you shouldn't ask for validation of others?
To have other people validate your feelings because they feel a certain way. And it's like, okay, well, you feel that way, but that doesn't mean that you should. I mean, or that it's right that you feel that.
Are you saying that you shouldn't communicate that bottle it inside? Or
no, I mean, you can communicate it, but when you say validate, doesn't that mean like, yes, you're totally justified?
So what you're saying is like, just don't be accusatory. Don't be like, you're doing this because of da da da, versus I feel this type of way, and I feel like you may or may not intentionally be trying to make me feel that way, you know, sort of a thing.
Right.
That's what, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So not to discount it, but also like, you need to check your emotions and make sure that they're not leading you astray where you're being too emotional. But
it's really hard to do. I feel like I've had drinks before, and been not sober.
Like alcohol?
Yeah. Like sober and feeling out of control, whether, you know, usually it's like your balance is off. You feel like, yeah, your brain isn't firing quite as quickly as it usually does. I've had just as much of a drunk experience with my emotions where I feel like I can't think clearly at all. I don't know what's up, what's down. I feel like my mind is completely clouded because I am not of sober mind. And then it's like usually a good night's sleep, maybe a workout and just some time and maybe some food later. You're able to look at the situation much more logically, rationally. But when you're in a deeply emotional state, it's very hard to get grips on like what it means, why you feel the way that you do. I don't want to use the word validated again, but kind of like, am I seeing something that's really there, or am I making this up in my head? Like, am I deeply paranoid, or is this something that I should be feeling? So, yeah. But I'm glad you guys are kind of, do you feel like you're back to baseline, or do you feel like you're still kind of like in that, we've made up, but it's not quite as warm as it usually is?
Well, we just kind of patched it up just before we got on here. So I think by tomorrow we'll be good again. I just need to do a better job. A lot of things.
Yeah. Do you feel like you are a, like you're too stoic?
Sometimes. Yeah. Also, like, I'm really, and this is something she brought up, like, she feels like I'm miserable, which is partly true, but I'm also compartmentalizing my life. Like, yeah, things aren't going the way I intended them to go, but that's not saying that I'm, you know, unhappy with you or this. I'm unhappy with my career aspect of my life, but I'm not unhappy with other parts. I love my family, I love my friends, you know, I love her, and those are all great. But unfortunately, you know, a big part of my day, you know, now it's like anywhere between, you know, 10 to 14 hours a day, 5 days a week of, you know, sitting in front of a computer screen, which is not ideal for my mental health. And I'm a complainer. I do love to complain. I'm going to get through it and do it. I'm not going to not complain about it the entire time. And it's unfortunate. And I try to make it funny at least. But you know, I got to keep in mind that I can bring other people down too. My bitching all the time.
Yeah. someone who has been in the experience of dating a man, not currently, but dating a man who was deeply unhappy with his job and what it required of him for other reasons, not, you know, yours might be more like money related, career related. This was more like, I'm making money and I'm miserable and it's not going good and they're making me travel, you know, twice a week, whatever the case may be. As a partner, I don't even want to say like as a female, but maybe that, you want to feel like you have the power to like pull them out of their depression. Like, yeah, work sucks, but God, I'm lucky I'm with you and I'm happy to see you. And if you don't like let them feel like they're making you happy at all, then they feel like, wow, I don't have the ability to pull this person out of their depression in terms of like circumstantial that, you know, do I bring any joy to your life or do you just care about your job? Like,
wow. That's exactly what happened. And this is the thing, and not to bring it into a political argument or anything, but
these
are different. I mean, like, come on, man, they're so different. The two genders, male and female, are way different. Just because you put on a wig doesn't mean that you're a lady. I'm sorry. Spectrums of this stuff too. Like some women are more not as emotional on the scale. It's a spectrum, right?
Of course.
There's just so many things. Like those are outliers. Those aren't the general pattern.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like, obviously, as far as genders go, you know where I stand. But men and women are very similar in almost everything. But the differences are stark, right? You know what I mean? Like we both get hungry, angry, happy, joyful, cry, sad, of course. But the differences are worth noting because men and women, not to bring this, you know, you like to bring it into the political sphere. I like to bring it into the evolutionary one. You had different goals and you had different threats. So you're kind of in tune with different things. That's why the wiring is different. Whereas, for example, physical infidelity is a lot more distressing to men. And emotional infidelity is way more distressing to women. Why? Well, if a man was sleeping with another woman, all right, not great. But if he's giving resources to that woman, that means less resources for me. And for men, it's like, I don't want you screwing around on me because I might be raising an offspring that's not biologically my own. So we're kind of in tune with different things. We have different strategies.
It's like the coin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's okay to be, I'm super high alert on certain things that, you know, my boyfriend isn't. He's honestly very measured, extremely measured. I recently started looking into, I don't know if you know who Walter Brooks is. He does a lot of stuff on happiness, but he was talking about different types of like happiness profiles. And I definitely qualify for what he called, and they're just four quadrants. So just based on averages, I definitely fall into the mad scientist category where I feel like my positive emotions throughout the day are much higher than average other people would experience. So when I get happy, I'm like, ah! Like, you know me, I get like super excited. I'm like dancing while I'm eating. But unfortunately for me, I feel negative emotions much more deeply and greatly than everyone else. So if someone just says something to me that's like kind of off-putting, most people would just be like, jerk, but I'll like ruminate on it and think about what do they mean by that? Like, why would they say that to me? Do they secretly hate me? Like, what's going on? So throughout the day, I'm experiencing these really, really high highs and these really, really low lows. Whereas my boyfriend,
bipolar.
I mean, it's more of like an emotional affect, how you experience emotions. Not so much like a manic episode, but just like how much joy does a good thing bring to you? To me, a lot. For example, like yesterday, I was so excited after meeting one of the St. Pete radio board of directors, who's amazing, by the way. Shout out, Nanette. You really got me excited. I was so amped that I was speeding on the way home and got pulled over by a cop. because I was dancing in my car going 55 and a 50 though. No, I was going like 65 and a 40 and I got pulled over. And the guy just let me off with a warning, which oddly enough made me want to speed because I was so excited that I got off with just a warning, but really had to control myself to go the speed limit. But conversely, I experienced negative emotions, very strongly as well. But my boyfriend is a judge, is what this like quadrant would be, where he doesn't really experience super high highs like I do, and he doesn't experience low lows like I do. He's kind of just even. And I feel like you might be that like that as well, perhaps, where you're just kind of even keel. And those two, he said, really pair well, where you have someone who's like psychotic and someone who's just like, you know, measured. So.
Yeah. Well, if you, maybe I'll take that test to see where I'm. Maybe I'll suggest that we take the test together.
Okay.
Maybe that will illuminate, things. Yeah. I'm just, you know, I know that there's just things I gotta do better. Just like validating another human being.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, and just the fact that you said that is a great sign that you're not just being defensive, or even if you're like, I didn't do anything wrong, but I could do something better, that's great news. That sounds like a mature adult to me, Will. So, two thumbs up.
I'm trying. And there was a point she went, you don't apologize very often. I go, no, if I'm not wrong, I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm wrong, then I'll admit when I'm wrong, but I don't think I was wrong. But no, I got
her feelings is what she probably means.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. That's exactly. Wow. Exactly what she
means. It's like I'm a woman or something.
You can speak each other's language, man.
It's different. It's really different. So.
Gun. This is the Homemade Broadcast. My name is Will Koontz. This is Anna Hummel. We're live on YouTube every Wednesday at 6 p.m. And you can join us at willsyoutube.com. Many of you are doing that now in the chat, which is nice. Good to have all the regulars back here. And you can join us at 6 p.m. Wednesday, willsyoutube.com. Radio St. Pete Sundays at 6-ish, I think. You know, sometimes it gets pushed a little bit back a little later. 6 p.m. on Radio St. Pete Sundays, 6-ish. And then podcast, HMB Radio, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts, it's right there. Homemade Broadcast Radio, HMB Radio, all one word. Subscribe to it. Give it 5 stars. Like the video if you're watching it. If you're listening live, like the video. That helps. Comments are good, especially when they're nice. I like that. You could donate if you'd like. Thanks to
Garrett.
To my man Garrett. Yeah, he threw us a couple shekels last week. That was nice, and I gave Anna her share. So.
It's only money I've made in a month, so I really appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully you get cooking, man. I'm telling you, I'm going to make you, if I get some time, I'm going to make you your individual channel, the Anna Hummel channel on HMB Radio, where you can just do your own thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking for that soon. I know you're going to be doing stuff on Radio St. Pete, which is exciting. And yeah, it's going to be good.
It's pretty official, Will. It's pretty official.
Whoa.
Yeah. Whoa. Miss Nanette gave this to me yesterday, and can I just shout out Nanette Weiser really quickly?
Yeah.
It is rare that you meet someone that just like almost forcefully injects that level of positivity in you. She was having none of my self-deprecation. You know me, I'm like, I make fun of myself, and she introduced me to someone she had met me for, she had known me maybe for 20 minutes, and she gave me to this stranger, walked in, was doing an interview at Radio St. Pete, and just gave me the most wonderful introduction. And I kind of laughed and said, wow, that's, you really dressed that up nicely. I'm just unemployed, you know? And she said, no, you're not. I had my lanyard on. She grabbed my lanyard and she goes, you're on Radio City. Like, she refused to allow me to talk negatively about myself, which was so odd to me because and foreign, especially, you know, knowing the work environment I previously come from. So that was like just standard. But it was nice. It was really, really nice for someone to like be that aggressive about like, hey, don't be mean to my friend, even if you're just being mean to yourself. So I really appreciated that. So excited to work with her.
I haven't met her yet, but hopefully soon. I know that there's a fundraiser next week for Radio St. Pete that you'll be attending. So we're going to record an episode early on Tuesday next week. And then we'll live stream it at the regular time. Mm-hmm. And then I'll put it behind the scheduling wall. So you can still tune in live. You know, the assumption of live will still be there. So that'll be fun. Check it out, RadioSt.Pete.com. As far as your content, I did see a comment about where can we hear you on Radio St. Pete. I don't think you've done anything quite yet, right?
Oh, just me? No. Mm-mm. I just learned how to work the equipment yesterday. Yeah.
Do they have a phone there?
A phone?
Calls? Like, is there a Radio St. Pete number?
That wasn't shown to me. I don't think there is. Yeah, that was not shown to me. But yeah, I do know how to go in there and record a show, and the live aspect, not quite certain on that. It seemed like things were a little bit shaky, but I'll go in their shadow one more time and I think I should be good. So
yeah, they used to have you could just go live. I could go live on Radio St. Pete from an app that I had on my phone. And I did that many times. I would go cover events and then I would talk into my phone and be like, hey, it's Will. I'm at Gecko Fest. And I'm going to put my phone, down and play the music through the phone, and it would air on Radio St. Pete. But I don't know. Some of that technology, I guess, doesn't work anymore. It seemed to work pretty good, but
Joe did show me an app, but, there was a lot of just like telling, and I'd be like writing something down. And I'd be like, hold on. And he just kept talking, and I was like, Joe, slow down.
Please.
But we're learning. And I'm really, really excited. And it's funny because like, yeah, it's not on the, you know, FM station that you were on and are still on in some capacity, or that I was on, but it is, I really like the community vibe. You know, I met the I love the Berg guys. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yeah,
which was really funny because they did an interview yesterday, and I had emailed both of them because I recognized their name and their face. I wrote both of them right after I was terminated, looking for a writing position, and they didn't get back to me. And so I see them, and Nanette introduces me. She's like, these are the guys from like I love the Berg. And she says their names, and I'm just looking at them. And one of them I could tell was just really uncomfortable because he's like a deeply introverted person. And I'm like, oh yeah, I wrote you guys an email about a writing position. And he's like, oh, nice. Nice. I was just like, I'm not going to push this. And so I stayed for their interview. It went great and said thank you and all that. But I'm excited to get involved with the community because that's not really who I am and what I'm all about, but I like the feeling of it.
Yeah, I like that too. Do you know if your interview is up yet?
Oh, I wasn't interviewed. I was just watching.
You're there.
Yes, okay. Kind of seeing how Joe was running things, how Nanette was interviewing them, and just how the equipment was, just to sit and watch the spectacle sort of thing. So. Yeah. Yeah, which is weird because I wanted to like grab the mic and like get on it and, you know, be the mic whore that I am. But you got to just.
Got to feel it out.
Yeah.
Feel it out. Yeah. Well, that's good. That's a lot of good stuff. Radio St. Pete has a lot of misfits. They have a lot of, you know, people who have been terminated, big programs like yourself. Well, I mean, not only you and not only me. For that matter, although I've been on Radio St. Pete since before I worked at the Bump, but are involved with them anyways. And but they got like the folk show there, which is pretty cool. It used to be on WMNF. I don't know why WMNF got rid of them. I don't think they were paying them. It's a wildly successful program, the Roots show or the Florida folk.
Yeah, I saw it on the schedule.
Yeah, it's a very popular program. I don't know why they got rid of them. The jazz, I got the jazz at nights now from WUSF, so that's cool. So they just do a good job of accumulating, you know, misfits and cast offs from times before. Not saying that you can't come back from the ashes and, you know, avenge, you know, anything, get back and dominate. I'm just saying, yeah. You know, they've accumulated a lot of misfits, including Anna and myself. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I did have an interesting interaction with Nanette that went from 0 to 100 really quickly. She walks in, introduces herself. She goes, "I've been doing my research on you." That's what she said to me. And usually I'd be like, cool. But now I'm like, like, I don't know what you know.
Right.
My history, the tweets, the epilepsy, there's a lot there. And she tells me that she's like, "Oh, you're from Santa Barbara," because that's where I went to school. She goes, "I'm from San Diego." And I'm like, "I'm from San Diego." She goes, "You look familiar." And I said, "Are you a Jew?" And she said, "Yeah." And then I said, "Did you go to Temple Solel?" And she goes, "Yep." And I go, "Do you know my dad, Philip Hummel?" And she's like, "Yep."
No so, way.
Yeah, yeah. So we're just, you know, we're just Jews doing our thing. Yeah, it was really, really funny. She like knew the cantor and the rabbis I knew. I'm like, I probably look different now. I was probably 13 the last time you saw me. But yeah, so it's it was an interesting connection, us folks, you know. So
that's wild. That's wild.
Yeah.
You know, I just found this story. I just Googled your name to see what I could find out. And I put in, you know, your name just to see what kind of research she was doing. And I did find this story here. Let me share it here. One of the only news stories. Here we go. Share screen. There it is. The one that started it all. But it doesn't, I don't see how, I'm trying to see.
Deeper in the story. Yeah. I think there's like a screenshot of the video I made.
Mm-hmm.
The off the chain video. That was really the most egregious part of it all. I remember you ripping a new one talking about that. You're like, really off the chain?
Yeah. Where is it? Where is it? Where are you, Anna?
I think, what is epilepsy? Oh, maybe they took me out because I'm that inconsequential. Maybe it's a quote. There it is. I see my name.
Oh, there it is. In an Instagram video, Miss Hummel, a host on 102.5 The Bone in Tampa Bay, is heard saying, never have I been, they messed up there, to a comedy show where a chick has an epileptic seizure in the middle of a show. Well, that's not too bad. I mean, that's just factual. Her comments. Oh, there it is. The headliner, Andrew Schultz, gets off on the stage and starts roasting the B word. Oh, it was off the chain. So good. Yeah, and the Epilepsy Foundation of Florida, of course. You know, that whole thing.
Wasn't that wild?
They were mad. I want to know how much money they got out of
$1,000 of
dollars
promotion. Thousands of dollars, I was told by
thousands of dollars.
Keith Lawless, who was the general manager at the time. I think he was mad about that, but he was really mad. I remember he made a comment about he had to join some like board of, you know, epileptics, whatever, and he had to run like a 5K in like the morning. He like made a comment. He's like, "Yeah, now I got to run a race on a Sunday morning," and I was like, "Oof!" Sorry. And he was like, "Yeah," and I was like, "God, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry." He had people coming in from Connecticut, like people who were, you know, big in the epilepsy awareness community that were flying in from Connecticut to meet with him and talk to him and, you know, so they could get more PSAs, promotion, awareness, whatever for epilepsy. And I remember last time I checked, there's still PSAs running. I haven't listened to The Bone in a while, but.
Yeah, I think every once in a while one goes on.
Yeah.
It's crazy. That was crazy. I mean, like it's
so
hard.
You're welcome, epileptics. You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. Turn it into a positive for you for sure. Yeah. That was a wild time. Cause you know, and you hate to say it, but there was a lot of financial reward and awareness that came out of that whole thing. However you want to phrase it, you know, it's the framing that you put on it, but there was, I believe, wasn't there even a monetary donation or do you know, of money? That was donated.
I don't recall. Okay. It doesn't mean that there wasn't. I just know that the monetary equivalent in the PSAs that they received was in the thousands of dollars that they got for no charge, which, to be honest, in the defense of the company, I'm wildly shocked that they did that to keep me around. If that was even an option, like they were going to have to do that anyways and get rid of me. Mm-hmm. But it seemed like they did that at least somewhat as an effort to preserve my spot at the bone.
So, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you were valuable. So
until the next year when I wasn't. Well,
that was tough. You know, this wasn't steering off a bunch of people with a brain disorder. This was steering off a mob with guns. Brain disorder.
Yeah,
that was a bad time. The Summer of Love was not ideal. Oh my God, Bob Tuscan is here. Do you know who is a huge fan of Bob Tuscan? Like, legitimately. Do you know?
You?
I guess. Well, I mean, I like Bob, but my mom watches Bob's podcasts and stuff.
Huh.
She's like, is that Bob Tuscan from so-and-so? And I was like, yeah. That's him. She's like, oh my God, I love him. So my mom is a big fan of yours, Bob. I just thought you might like to know that. It's a feather to put in your cap.
He said which show?
I don't know. It's something in the chat there.
Oh, I didn't know if we needed to address the comment.
I don't know. I can't find it. I gotta say, the chat is popping off here. I can't keep up with all these. I wish I had a producer. That would be nice. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. thehomemadebroadcast@gmail.com if you want to get in touch there. And hmbradio.com is the website, and facebook.com/hmbradio. You should be liking that and following that. I try to keep up and post stuff, but I'm not great. I'm not great at it. I went to the mall yesterday. When's the last time you were at the mall?
Oh, the day I got fired.
Then you got fired. You went to the mall. Why?
I was at the mall prior to the firing. I have, oddly enough, that's so funny that you mentioned that. I've been to the mall maybe like 3 times in the last 2 months, and I'll just walk around. Like, I just like the mall is back in my mind. And I was at International Mall. I probably won't ever go to a mall again. I get back in my car, didn't buy anything, thank God. And then that's when I got the call that said, hey, in so many words, because I can't say anything because of certain documents I've signed, you're fired. So I got the news in the mall parking lot.
You didn't even get yourself a treat. Didn't even get an Orange Julius or anything.
No, again, it was my mall excursion was over and I was in the parking lot about to leave. And then I got it.
What are you in the mall for?
Dude, I like sales and discounts. You know me. I always brag about stuff. If I get a deal on something, I can't not talk about it. I got like this purse bag thing for like $11.97. And I've been talking about it for like 4 months, just because it was so discounted and it's awesome. And I use it all the time. So,
okay. So you can buy yourself some treats at least. That's good.
Yeah.
yeah. The mall was an odd place. I mean, it was a lot of empty storefronts. And I was at Tyrone Mall because I went to go use my eye insurance that I'm paying for and got an eye exam yesterday, which I thought was free. And then it turns out that it wasn't. I still had to pay for the exam. I thought I got one exam a year since I have insurance that I pay for, but apparently not. You still have to pay for stuff. Found that out a little too late, but it wasn't that bad. $50 for an eye exam. Not too bad.
Do you like the mall or?
What's that?
I didn't know if you were going to go on and say that the mall is back or.
No, it's not back. It's dreary. It's a lot. It's not even like rambunctious or anything. It's just empty, storefronts and then like old people walking. That's all the mall was, like getting exercise at the mall.
Yeah. I might suggest going to a different mall for better vibes.
Okay.
International Mall is where rich people go.
That's gotta be the only one that's worth a dang.
Yeah, and it feels good. You know, because you're not just walking by Forever 21. You're walking by Louis Vuitton. You know what I mean? Do I go in? No. But I like that I'm in the same building as these people that are, if you know what I mean.
Was there a lot of empty storefronts at International, or was everything popping?
Wasn't crowded. Wasn't popping off. Not at all. But I kind of like that. I kind of remember the days of like busy mall adventures with my friends when I was a teenager. And it was the place to go, and it was like a safe, well, maybe not anymore because everyone likes to, you know, pick up an AK-47 and shoot people. But back in the day, it used to be like a safe place you could drop your kid off because it was in like one vicinity. And then, you know, your mom would pick you up at JCPenney a few hours later with your friends.
Yeah.
But yeah, the mall is not back in the way that it was in like the 2000s or I know like the heydays, like the 80s, but that's before time. So
I don't think it's coming back. I know, like,
not with Amazon and online shopping. So
yeah, they're just, and I think Tyrone Mall, you have legacy brands there. Like you brought up like the really big, stores like the Louis Vuittons and the, Coach and stuff like that. Apple is in International. Yeah. So there's legacy brands that have like a lot of, you know, clout and capital still to kind of keep those stores. But I wonder if they're worth it in the long run and how long that's going to continue. Cause the mall was a piece of Americana where people gathered, you know, pre Amazon. Obviously Amazon was the big one that not put about a business necessarily, but I mean, there was still like Hollister that was open. There was PacSun, but there's nobody in there.
Yeah.
There's kids that used to want to work at the mall. Now I don't think they want to work at the mall. There's always the immigrant jeweler that's there too, peddling, you know, jewelry that's probably not real.
Okay.
Speaking in a foreign language on his iPods, you know, just on the phone at a kiosk. There's like a drone kiosk too, with like little toy drones and
yes, the Dead Sea scrubs, the Israelis.
Yeah,
they like to sell that. It's funny, the kiosk people are far less pushy. They are just kind of sitting on a chair on their phone, which I much prefer to the kiosk people of the 2000s that were like,
yay,
you know. So I prefer the lazy kiosk people. They don't care if you live or die by their stuff or not. You know, they're just, it's clearly not their business. They're just there to kind of collect money if you want to spend it.
Their hourly wage, well, they're probably not even getting commission anymore,
I guess. No, I don't think. The way that they're working, they ain't getting commission, no way.
So I went and got the eye exam there, and I was, afterwards, after I got out of the eye exam, it was in a lens crafter store where you buy eyeglasses.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, getting some glasses today? Like, I guess that's why they do it. They put the practice in there. It's mutually beneficial. You know, people are looking for glasses, might need an exam. Then when they get the exam, they could buy the glasses. Like, it's mutually, you know, good. And I was like, I don't know, maybe what can I get with this insurance? Can I get a pair of glasses? Oh, you can get, it was like $130 off a pair of glasses. And I was like, okay, that's cool. I must be able to find a pair of glasses. No. The glasses are $500.
Whoa.
I mean, they're expensive and they're ugly. Number one, here's the thing. You could go and order glasses online. These I wear all the time. And I got these on Zenni and they were $6, I think, for a complete pair. I think it was $20 for a complete pair of glasses online. And I felt bad because I'm listening to this lady. She's really trying to push me on the, you know, getting a pair of glasses because it's such a great deal, you know, $130 off, and she's adding an extra $50 off, and, you know, you put the lenses in and, you know, you're only paying $200 for these nice glasses. Like, so you'd be a fool not to do it. And I'm like, lady, I'm sorry. And I hate to tell you this because I know this is your livelihood. And obviously you're probably making commission here based on your sales, but these were $20 out the door. And I was like, I told her that. I was like, I'm sorry. I feel bad telling you this, but I'm just going to go get another pair of these. I wear these and they're cheap and they're good quality. You know,
did you break her little heart and soul?
I could tell. And she's like, I said, like, I'm sorry. I feel bad like saying this to you. And she's like, no, it's okay. It's okay. I've heard it. And you're not the first person to tell me this. I'm like, I'm sure not. Sure not. Because it's just so. And I go, do you even have a lab in here anymore? Because I used to work at a lens crafters and I used to make eyeglasses. That was one of my jobs.
What?
Yeah. In the back room there. They used to have an open lab where you could kind of watch people, the technicians working, making your glasses live on the set at the lens crafters.
And you, that was your job?
Huh?
That was your job?
My job.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you don't even have a lab exit now. So what they're doing is they're doing the same thing. They're buying their glasses on Zenni or one of those online distributors and getting them shipped back in. And then they sell them for 10 times
the amount that they bought it for. Yeah.
They're selling them for. So yeah, it's just a shame. The mall, there's really no reason for the mall. I don't know what they're going to do with these buildings that are there. I guess make affordable housing for people who are living on the streets that are on fentanyl. They can just put them all in the mall. That seems like a reasonable use of resources there. Just make a big open air or closed air, at least, you know, but kind of open drug den.
Let me tell you an aspect of the mall that still brings me much joy. And that is, has always been my favorite part of the mall. I think you can probably guess what it is. It is the mall food court. There's no better people watching. Sometimes the food is not bad. It's quite good. It brings back a lot of nostalgia.
What's your go-to for the mall food? What's your go-to mall food?
As a kid, I would always get Chinese food.
Yeah.
I've now recently learned is probably not vegetarian. Even though I got vegetarian lo mein. They're putting fish sauce and oyster sauce in every single dish. So I ate that my whole life claiming I was vegetarian, but I'm just, you know, a fraud, I guess. But it brings back all the great memories of like being a teenager, overeating and then trying to try on tight clothes and then just being so mad at yourself that you're overate. Probably just facilitating the eating disorder that I would later acquire. So it brings back good memories. Yeah. Wet Seal was for the millennials out there, the lady millennials, Wet Seal was the place. And yeah. There's not a Wet Seal left. It's gone forever. But that was a place that online? I would go to. Yeah.
Are they online?
I have no idea.
Let's look it up.
It really is a relic of the past. It was kind of there with Charlotte Russe and Forever 21, but Wet Seal just died. Never to be reborn.
Let's see.
Is it still a brand?
Let's can I pull this up here? Yeah, I can. There we go. Wet Seal.
Yeah.
Fashion retailer headquartered in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Let's see. 2014. Is that when it ended?
I guess so. That was its lifespan.
Oh no.
Almost 20 years.
Oh, bankruptcy and liquidation. January 2015. Because of increased competition, Wet Seal shuttered. So they lasted until 2015.
Okay. That's pretty strong. But yeah, that has a lot of memories going to the places like that with my friends. Like trying on our slutty clothes, which were, spaghetti straps with a 5mm strap. That was really putting it out there for me these days. Whereas these days, the children are nude. So
this is the Wet Seal print, which is not vinyl banners. I don't think that's it. So they're not even, it says they're an online only retailer. I don't even know if they're doing that anymore.
I think they're just done.
That's too bad.
I'm
trying to think what my favorite store. My favorite store in the mall in like 1990s, I guess I'm not quite that old, but Pog store. Remember hologram stores? It was just like weird holograms of like prints and stuff. And they had like the magic eye art where you cross your eyes and then you could see 3D images in the art.
Was that like, did they have those things at Spencer's?
Yeah, they probably did. I mean, there was like stores there was stores that were open that sold like hologram Pogs. You know what a Pog is?
Yes, right? I collected Pogs. Slammers,
yeah. So you would get Pogs with holograms on them, and then they would have like lasers that you could buy for like laser shows, and then it would have like this these things, these lawn chairs you would sit in and recline back, and then they put these like flashing lights on your eyes, and supposedly took you to another realm.
Mm.
I mean, everybody was just smoking a lot of weed back then, so you know they bought it hook, line, and sinker, and those stores are very profitable for a very long time.
Uh-huh.
It was good times. It was good.
Yeah,
times.
I was big on pencil organizers.
Okay.
That you would get like it was like a little padded contraption sort of thing. The girls loved it. You know, you press this button and like this little compartment comes out. You get your pencil, put it back.
Oh, I like those too.
Press that one and then pops out a little eraser comes out. You know, you just keep it all in one little thing. And I'd always get like Hello Kitty or.
Okay.
karaoke. Not Lisa
Frank.
Yeah.
Remember Lisa Frank?
That yes, was the, I had yeah. tons of yes. Big on Lisa Frank. Yeah. Big on Hello Kitty stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all that.
Yeah, I didn't like going back to school because all the kids are on summer break right now, but I loved going school shopping like yes. 2 weeks before school started. I was like, oh man, I better savor these 2 weeks. And you get hooked up with like a new backpack, a new trapper keeper, pencil organizer, pens, pencils, markers.
You plan your outfit like a month in advance.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember. That was fun.
Wow. That's it. That's the show. Thank you very much for Anna Hummel. My name's Will Koontz. You can catch Anna on the beach, as they call it right now. She's currently out of a radio job, but I'm sure one will come along very soon. You catch me on the bone on occasion on Saturday mornings and sporadically at other times. Maybe some news about that coming soon. A little too early to tell right now. For Anna Hummel again, my name's Will Koontz. Have a great weekend. Keep it locked here on Radio St. Pete. You got Frank Rivera's Jazz Show up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, thanks. Tell a friend about it. Follow me on social, home_made_man. Have a good one. Later.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.